You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
On a sunny Wednesday, we welcome you into the gym class here on KGYM 1600 AM along with 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids in Iowa City, listening in on 106.3 FM as well as the KGYM radio stream, the brand new KGYM mobile app, or your smart speaker. Thank you for joining us. We certainly do appreciate it. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side here today. One more time, Mark Dukes will join me coming up in a moment. Mark Ironside will join us, the Hall of Famer, here in just a little bit. Plenty to talk about. We look back at Iowa and Minnesota from Minneapolis last Friday evening. Love to have been looking forward to Iowa, Michigan, but we will look forward to Iowa and Illinois only coming up for Sunday. And they have moved that duel up. It'll now be an 11 o'clock duel, and that will take place on the Big Ten Network. We will talk about that coming up in just a little bit, and everything in the world of college wrestling to talk about. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. Basketball coming your way tonight. The Iowa State women in action as Iowa State will try to put the loss to Texas in the rearview mirror as the Cyclone women we'll get ready to take on Kansas State tonight in Manhattan. And that will get underway at 6 o'clock with the pregame and 6:30 with the tip-off for that one. We do also have NCAA basketball for you from Westwood One on our FM signals, 107.5 FM, the Gym OT, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. And a good one in the Big East. It'll be Creighton on the road to take on the Pirates of Seton Hall coming up this evening in New Jersey. And again, we'll have that for you just ahead of the tip-off coming up tonight at 6 o'clock for you right here on KGYM. Again, 319-366-1600. That is a text line that is available to you as well. And we bring in Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. It is a bright, shiny day, and that's great to see. Kind of a newsy Wednesday. I mean, after we went off the air yesterday, the Baseball Hall of Fame voting came down, and no one met the threshold there. And Fran McCaffrey met the media today. A Big Ten football coach has his contract extended. And you know what Wednesday means, Scott? It's bowling night in America.
As one of our teammates said, yeah, we either win 27 or we win 3. It just depends on what we're going to do tonight. So, yeah, we will talk about Bowling Night in America coming up before 4 o'clock today as well. Let's just start with Fran McCaffrey. Let's go there real quick. The one thing that people want to know about before the Illinois game coming up in about 48 hours from now, a little more than 48 hours, is the status of C.J. Frederick, and status is up in the air, according to Fran McCaffrey right now, correct?
Yeah, at a minimum, Fran McCaffrey did not tip his hand on C.J. Frederick. He said there was no update, and it could linger, his leg injury. He's been in treatment. These 8 days probably have helped. I don't know. But Fran McCaffrey said there's no update, and this is a much-anticipated game. Friday night, Fran says he respects Illinois and knows what they've done the last few years. And but it's been fairly intense with Connor McCaffrey getting tangled up with an Illinois player last year, face to face, and a few other things as well. And I think that's why we have our poll question worded the way it is today at KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Is Illinois Iowa's best Big Ten rivalry when it comes to men's basketball? Yes or no?
Good question. Good question out there. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his staff. We do appreciate their help each and every day. And As of right now, yes. I don't think there's any doubt about it because of the stature of the two programs right now and what happened a year ago, what has happened in the past. Still remember a few years ago when the Illinois students came over and walked into Carver-Hawkeye Arena, cleverly dressed as Iowa fans, and then just ahead of tip-off, took off all the Iowa T-shirts and paraphernalia, and they were all wearing the proudly wearing the Orange Crush colors. Still remember that. That was fun. I give them an A-plus for that. Yeah, I don't think there's a doubt. You go back a few years, obviously, with the whole situation in the late 80s around Iowa and Illinois, but kind of between that, Wisconsin kind of crept in there a little bit as far as one of Iowa's biggest rivals because there was personnel that were going from one side to the other side, and then you had, of course, the situation with Jared Utoff, and I got to think it's Illinois or Wisconsin, and right now I think Illinois is broken out to about a two-length lead in that race.
Yeah, it's a really good question, and the rivalry with Illinois even goes back to when the two coaching staffs, Bruce Pearl and the Illinois staff, were feuding over a recruiting battle. That goes back a few years, but in recent years, I mean, it's been a heated rivalry on the floor, a good rivalry. I appreciate the comments about Wisconsin because I think for a period of time, Wisconsin was that team. You could even make an argument. There's some very good games against Michigan State, although Michigan State kind of held the upper hand. But it's a very good question. Hopefully people will weigh in.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 was where you will find the KGYM poll question. Big Ten basketball, a pair of games coming up tonight. It would have been a trio, but Michigan at Penn State is off due to Michigan sitting out due to the strain of the COVID-19. The British strain, is it the British strain for Michigan, Buttons? Is that what they have? Or they have some strain anyway. They're not playing tonight. It'll be Penn State instead taking on Ohio State in Columbus. So that is a redo, if you will, for the Nittany Lions. And also tonight, Wisconsin will try to exact some revenge against Maryland in College Park. What Maryland team shows up tonight, ladies and gentlemen? The 14th-rated Badgers have not been playing great basketball as of late, especially on the offensive end. They've become a little bit stagnant right there. You recall Maryland went into Madison about a month ago and beat the Badgers. And we'll see what happens tonight. Both those games, they're back-to-back on the BTN starting at 6 o'clock with Penn State at Ohio State and Wisconsin at Maryland coming up tonight.
Yeah, curiously, Maryland has been more impactful on the road than it has been at home. So that would be a very interesting rematch. And then we get towards the end of the week in that Iowa-Illinois game.
Yeah. By the way, I got to mention this because we were postponed from our high school basketball game on Tuesday night. Most basketball games were postponed. And I was kind of wondering, I'm always kind of in a fog on Tuesday nights or Friday nights when there's not a game. So, but one of the many Twitter accounts surrounding or having something to do with Iowa athletics tweeted out last night the Iowa-Illinois 1980 Senior Day basketball game. And so I enjoyed that last night, the Ronnie Lester's final appearance at the Iowa Fieldhouse, and when he made a surprise start against Lou Henson and Illinois. And I thoroughly enjoyed that last night. It made my Tuesday evening go a lot better.
Well, I would have liked to have seen that. Why didn't you share, Scott? Come on.
Because I was enthralled, man. And it was probably, and it was a little bit later in the evening. I stayed up too late watching. I will try to find that for you and get that to you. But it was good. It was good. It was just fun to hear hear Father Bob talk on the PA once again. Nothing wrong with the PA guys they have right now, but Father Bob Holzhammer was the voice of Iowa basketball and Iowa football for a long, long time. And yeah, he was a guy that I grew up listening to. Bob Hogue was doing the game, by the way.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. 319-366-1600. I thought I'd just share because it got me through my Tuesday evening with a smile on my face right there. Iowa won that game, by the way, 74-70 over Eddie Johnson, Perry Range, and the rest of the Illini. 315, you mentioned Big Ten football news today as well as news coming out of Evanston as Northwestern's coach going to be sticking around, at least contract-wise, for a while.
Yeah, Pat Fitzgerald's contract extended 10 years through 2030. Fitzgerald has already been at Northwestern for 15 years. And this extends him, again, through 2030, his 25th season, already comparisons being made to Kirk Ferentz's long career at the University of Iowa. And the thing that strikes me is even though some NFL teams have gone after Pat Fitzgerald, this guy is one who appreciates where he's at, likes where he's at, and the facilities have been upgraded at Northwestern. He likes the surroundings, and, we talked about Matt Campbell there for a while. I don't know if Matt Campbell's another Pat Fitzgerald or Kirk Ferentz in terms of longevity, but you never know what is going on in a coach's mind. And as I tweeted, some people understand that the grass may not be greener on the other side.
No, that is true. That is true, and becoming more true as we speak. I aired Iowa State, Kansas State is tomorrow night. I beg your pardon. It is tomorrow night, 6 o'clock with the pregame on 1600 and 102.3. So we'll just have Creighton and Seton Hall on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. So make that notation out there. I got it 24 hours ahead of myself on that. So I apologize. I apologize.
8186 on the text line, which is 319-366-1600. Favorite Father Bob moment, quote, officials timeout for blood.
Father Bob was awesome. He was awesome on the PA. And just absolutely, you heard that voice and you thought immediately of Iowa basketball or Iowa football. Did you ever have the chance to hear Father Bob deliver a sermon?
I did not, no. I listened to him speak many times at Kinnick Stadium. A guy who really did his homework and was just as pleasant as could be. But no, I never attended one of his services.
I did once in college because I wanted to go and hear Father Bob. And he was terrific. He was a very good speaker. It was a terrific sermon that particular day. So hope everyone got a chance to do that. 1775 on the text line says, in their opinion, I think Wisconsin is a bigger rival. Maybe that's because I hate Wisconsin. That is not from me. That is from 1775. Wisconsin folks, please do not send hate mail to me or Mark. That is from 1775.
Well, it's point well taken. Not the fact that anybody hates Wisconsin, but we already made the point that for a number of years, whether it was the Utah situation or the games themselves, it was a good rivalry, and I think it still is.
I would agree. We'll talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame coming up after we talk with Mark here in just a little bit. 18 minutes past the hour of 3, about 5 minutes away from talking with Mark Ironside. But I wanted to get this, and we should have hit this with college basketball right after we talked about Fran McCaffrey today. In case you missed it, no word yet on the status of C.J. Frederick for the game on Friday. Iowa taking on Illinois over at Champaign. But Drake, 14-0, Mark. The Bulldogs with a dandy victory last night, beating Missouri State, coming from 17 down to do so and holding Missouri State to 20-some percent shooting, 21% shooting in the second half buttons. Yes, 21% shooting last night. and in downing the Bears down in Springfield at the Hammonds Center last night. Drake will go for the back-to-back and to go 15-0 coming up tonight. That was darn impressive by Darren DeVries and the Bulldogs last night.
Oh, it was indeed, and you didn't know what you were going to get in Drake after being off 2+ weeks, and as you mentioned, fell behind 15 at half, 17 at one point, but held Missouri State to 20 points in the second half, and then breezed to that, I think it was a 7-point victory, and extremely impressive given the fact that the Bulldogs were on the sidelines for such a long period of time.
It is, and they'll try it again here this evening. Boy, oh boy, if they can come away with a sweep of Missouri State down in Springfield, that bodes so well. I mean, you're thinking now possibly Drake, even if they don't win, if there is a Missouri Valley Conference tournament held, if Drake does not win that particular tournament, I mean, Drake's entering right now territory where they are pretty much an at-large team, wouldn't you imagine? They have to be at this time.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the net is right now, perhaps.
It was 11.
Yeah. Oh, it's 11.
Yeah.
Well, that settles it right there. I wasn't sure the resume was quite strong. I know Drake went on the road and beat Kansas State early in the year. Not a very good Kansas State team, but nevertheless, a Big 12 team. Yeah, when you got a net of 11, that's quite impressive.
Let me just double-check it here today because it changes on a daily basis, obviously. 10. Drake is a 10 right
there
now.
There you have it.
Drake and Bo Derek, both there, right at 10. Loyola is a 26 right now. They are 13-3 overall, 8-1 in league play, and Drake and Loyola still yet to meet. So that's going to be a fun matchup in the Missouri Valley, and hopefully that will be a big TV stage for that one. That remains to be seen. All right, 321. We'll talk a little bit of baseball coming up in just a little bit. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America preview, but up next, our friend Mark Ironside to join us, and we'll talk college wrestling with you when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class on a Wednesday, the midweek edition, right here on KGYM.
Hey, folks, this is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. What better way to celebrate the 55th edition of the big game than with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook? If you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when the Chiefs play the Buccaneers. That's right, you can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game on February 7th. Chiefs Kingdom, if you think that your team can stifle Tom Brady, 55-1 odds. And this is just one of many reasons to use FanDuel. They have tons of odds boosts and specials, not only every day, but they feature big super boosts each weekend. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code KUHN to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Find your style with Patriot Lighting from Menards. We carry a great selection of interior lighting products. Check out the Leaf Island Light. Its stylish design will add a modern touch to any kitchen with its satin nickel frame and graphite accents. Just $149.99. The Brooklyn Island Light comes with vintage style bulbs and has an industrial feel. Right now it's only $189.99. Save on everything to update your home now at Menards. Price is good through Sunday, January 31st.
Save big money at Menards. At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Back in the gym class, 324 on this Wednesday here on KGYM. A couple more on the text line coming through here. About Drake, 6739. Drake is a great story. Sad Iowa and Iowa State won't play Drake or UNI. Won't do home and home. Sad. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole, 6739, but I would agree. 4570, what if Drake still had Liam Robbins? Yeah, but it changes the makeup of the team, though. I'll say that. I don't think it would hurt, but we'll see. 7508 telling me Bo Derek isn't there anymore. Thank you. And Sean from the bus trip. I heard Father Bob's sermon all the time as I went to his church, prepared his sermons like he did for games. Yes, he did. Like you said, Mark, very thorough gentleman. The late, great Father Bob Holzhammer down in Iowa City. And it was fun to hear him last night. He did not do wrestling, though. He did not do the PA for wrestling.
I think Phil Hattie did it.
Phil Hattie. Oh, yeah. That's right. Phil Hattie did that. So did that for a long, long time in Iowa City. Coaches cuts coming up, as we heard mentioned earlier on, Fran McCaffrey talking today. And if you want to hear more from the coach, stay tuned. Todd and Alex will have that for you. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will check in to those weekly press conferences and bring you the latest on Hawkeye updates. And it's brought to you by Computer Network Solutions, online at ncsei.com. And stay tuned for that. Todd and Alex will be on from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Coming up this evening. Mark Ironside set to join us right now. His appearance brought to you each Wednesday by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. He is right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee, a very ardent wrestling supporter and a supporter of our man, Mark Ironside. Phil Hattie was the PA guy for wrestling when you were there too, right, Mark?
Yeah, he was. Phil Hattie did an amazing job. He was a lot of fun, and he kept things light and interesting. So he's still around today. Good for him.
He loved his wrestling. Still loves his wrestling.
Yeah, he loved his Hawkeyes. He was always fun. He had a great sense of humor, and there was at times that, you know, when he was announcing and if Gable was, having a moment and was really into something or whatever, or another coach was being not so good or whatever, he would have a lot of fun with the two coaches or something that was going out there. He used it, and he really kept the crowd entertained.
Hey, Mark, your reaction when you heard the Michigan situation and the fact that Iowa would not be wrestling Michigan at least this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get it at all, to be honest with you. I think when they – I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I know that when they set that schedule, it was pretty much set, and there was not going to be any – a deviation from there. It was just kind of is what it is. And if something doesn't happen, they're not going to make it up, which is really, really unfortunate because this is the dual meet. Was the dual meet this Sunday, 11 o'clock against Michigan, the number two ranked Michigan Wolverines. And they have a stellar lineup coming back this year because they had so many guys last year that were Olympic redshirt and that. This is a dual meet that I personally had, you know, highlighted and circled on my inner schedule brain and was really looking forward to seeing. And it was going to be a great opportunity to see exactly where we're at as a team. I know that we, you know, wrestled Nebraska. They were either fifth or sixth, and we blew them out. We blew out Minnesota. We're going to blow out Illinois, which we'll get to in a minute. We need that competition. And I shouldn't say we need it, but it's good to have that competition. It's good for the guys to be able to have, you know, some great matches like that, some hard-fought, tough matches where they're really, really pushing their lungs, their anxiety a little bit. They're having to scrap to, you know, certain situations and positions that they haven't had to yet. And just being put in an environment where kind of the meat's on, might be on the line, so to speak. And it's just unfortunate that we're not going to have that now until, you know, we see probably Penn State later on. So
Not even Ohio State in that duel over at Purdue on the 7th. But, it is what it is, I guess. So you move on from it and get ready for Illinois. Before we talk about the Illini, though, let's go back to Minnesota. And several people mentioning this, including our friend KJ Pilcher, tweeting this out. As good as Spencer Lee has been, that may have been the absolute Spencer Lee of Spencer Lee in that match against Minnesota. Technically, I mean, that was almost perfection in that battle against a really good wrestler who was the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week, co-Big Ten Wrestler of the Week the prior week.
Well, you know, you say really good wrestler. You know, it's just that could be taken in, you know, very relative, I guess, so to speak. You know, I mean, compared to who or what, you know, compared to Spencer Lee, not so good.
He's
you know,
on his own planet.
What's that?
He's on his own planet right now.
He really is. And it's like we talked about this, last week when we were on the air and I talked about it. You know, there's just really no one at his weight class right now that, as long as Spencer Lee doesn't have a hiccup or step on his shoelaces and have a bad day or whatever, or come down with COVID or something like that, knock on wood, I don't even want to say that out loud. You know, there's no one's going to even come close to touching him. You're going to pretty much see, you know, bonus point decisions throughout the whole entire season. You know, he's, you know, focused on the winning a national title and a team national title this year, no doubt about it. But his bigger aspirations are further down the road, and he's looking at making the Olympic team and not just making the Olympic team, but winning the Olympics this year. That's something that where he thinks about, and you know, he's kind of geared towards as well too. So, but this is a great opportunity for him to be in the room training every day with his best friends and his family, and to be able to step on the mat. Unfortunately, it's not in front of the Hawkeye faithful crowd and fans, but it's an opportunity for him to continue to keep training and get matches under belt, making weight and staying on a regimen. So he is living it up to the fullest and going out and, I can't probably repeat on the radio FFA rules by what Tom Brand said, but he is a great, great citizen, a great guy. Just a freaking perfect, perfect role model of a kid off the mat. When he steps on the mat, he's a tough little B.A. dot, 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 dot. He's a mean little B.A.D. dot, 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 dot.
He is indeed. And another weight, 157, Mark. Nice to see Caleb Young get a victory over a wrestler ranked higher than he.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he needed that, but that's a big win for him. You know, it was overtime. It was a very, very gutsy win for him, not only to put it into overtime with just a real quick, explosive, kind of like a headlock from like a whip over situation, like a pancake action, but just it showed how explosive he is and how good he can be when he wants to be. But the gutsy ride out in overtime, that's where, you know, it just really kind of shows you who Caleb Young is and what he's capable of doing. He is tough on top. He's great at, you know, lifting guys, putting them back down to the mat and his mat returns, but spiking the hip like you're supposed to. Technically, so good there. I just wish that he wouldn't have the match so close. I just don't feel like it needed to be in overtime. It should have gone in overtime, and he could have taken care of business earlier on in the match and not let it get there. But, hey, at this point in time, we'll take the win, and that's something we can continue to build and improve on and work on.
Michael Kemmerer got out for the first time, and he did Michael Kemmerer stuff. Had a major decision in that one. How did you think he looked?
Oh, man, I tell you, it's Kemmerer just he's just amazing. He's done so well at going up to 174 pounds from 157 pounds. He's so strong. He's so aggressive. That's his first match. It's the first time he's been on the mat in a while. And the thing I like about Kemmerer is he knows how to wrestle when he's fatigued and tired. You know, he wrestles so hard. It's his first match yet. He still isn't in the mat shape. He's been off of the mat for a little while with a banged up injury. And he could have gone last week, but, you know, we didn't really need him, obviously. So we didn't wrestle him. And this week was last week against Minnesota, his first week back. You know, and you could tell a little bit, but at the same time, he fought through it and he kept scoring points and he didn't get sloppy. And he just, I love the kid. I love the kid. And I also love watching him wrestle. He just, that's the thing. Everybody talks about Spencer Lee, you know, as being, you know, just kind of the highlight of the team and the leader of the team. But I'm telling you right now, we got a bunch of leaders on that team. We have a lot of Spencer Lee-ish type people on that team, up and down the lineup, both leaders on and off the mat, you know, in the room, out of the room, both, you know, with their results out on the mat, but also, you know, their vocalness. And that's what's amazing about this team. And Michael Kemmer's just another one of those guys. He's just such an awesome kid and an awesome wrestler and so fun to watch.
Mark, in your career, did you ever use the Jaden Ironman cartwheel?
Early on, when I was in sixth grade and we had PE class in gymnastics, I mean, I competed in the state gymnastics meet at Taft when I was in, I think, sixth grade, and I got a blue ribbon. That'd been probably about the last time. But no, that was pretty cool, huh? That was really, really cool.
Yeah, when style points, and nobody's there to see it, though, unfortunately. You weren't there, but you saw it.
I saw it. A lot of other people saw it on, you know, BTN on TV and so forth. And that's really cool. Not only did he, you know, escape the hold, but he actually turned it into his own offense. And that's just the type of kid that he is. That's what we've been saying is why Tom's so high on him. He lets the fur fly. He's not afraid to try anything. He's got a lot of fireworks in his arsenal, and that's just one of them. So, he's fun to watch. He just fits right in with what we have. Sometimes I think he leads that right leg a little bit too much. It makes it kind of easy for his opponents to get that leg. But I think a little bit of it is he does it on purpose and kind of baits them, depending on his opponent. And because he's so good at cutting the corner, once a guy gets on that shot on him, onto that leg, and he's really good there. I just fear that, you know, against a really good high-quality opponent that knows how to finish there and can finish quick from there, that might come back to bite him a little bit. But I also think he plays that up to his competition a little bit too. You know, he knows his competition, when he can get away with it and when he can't. But he's good. The thing that about Ironman, though, is that he's got on the rest of the field and advantages. He's so big and strong. He is a strong, strong 41-pounder, and he can just horse guys in certain situations. And that's another thing that just, you know, allows him to get away with certain things and makes him even better yet.
Mark Ironside joining us on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. And his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest. A lot of people pointing at heavyweight, and Gable Stevenson looked really good again. He got Cassiope 15-6, and so there's still that gap there between the number one guy in the country and kind of everybody else right now at heavyweight.
Well, he is really, really good. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be fun to watch him and Paris from Michigan scrap and go at it at some point in time this season eventually. But at the same time, Tony Cassiope made him look a little bit better than what he is. And I'm not trying to discredit Stevenson at all, but Cassiope, the second period of that match, Stevenson was getting a little fatigued and tired, and he wanted to slow down, and we did not sense it, and we didn't get after it, and we didn't try getting to his leg. We didn't try taking advantage of that at all whatsoever. And, you know, and shame on us there. We could have wrestled a lot better of a match, a lot tougher of a match, a lot more physical of a match, a lot more aggressive of a match. I mean, if we're going to get beat, but don't just give them a major decision. And towards the end of that match there, Stevenson realized that Tony wasn't going to even bring any offense to him. And he just kind of started taking him down at will. And Tony really didn't fight. He didn't fight. And that's what's kind of disappointing Tony, because he's better than that. And he's much better than that. He's a lot better than that. And it just we're just not seeing it out of him when he wrestles a guy like Gable Stevenson. Yeah, you might not win the match, but at least stay in there and fight. You know, try and get to the leg, try and cut a corner, try and hit a snatch single, you know, try to get a snap go. I mean, there's so many different things, but you got to stay in there and give yourself a chance. And that's the thing about Tony is he just never really gave himself a chance, and he makes Stevenson look a little bit better than what he is. And again, that's not trying to discredit Stevenson because he's an animal. There's no doubt he's big, he's strong, he's explosive, but you know, so is Tony, and we have to represent ourselves a little bit better there.
Sunday, 11 o'clock at Carver Hawk Arena, Illinois, undefeated under Jim Heffernan comes in. But this looks to be another lopsided Iowa victory. Is there a couple weights you're anticipating, maybe 149, maybe heavyweight?
Yeah, 49 and heavyweight. You know, I honestly look for this to be another extremely lopsided victory. I don't see Illinois winning a single match. I think 149, you know, they're ranked 8th, 9th. We're ranked, you know, 7th-ish, you know, so we're right there with them. But Max Mirren's been looking pretty solid this year as well, too. I mean, he hasn't, you know, been lighting it up out there like, you know, some of these other guys like DeSanto and Kemmer did or Spencer Lee, obviously, you know, but he is solid. He looks good. His position is good. He's moving his feet well. He's really transitioned to 149 really, really well, going up a weight class. I don't see him losing that match. It's just a matter of, honestly, this weekend against Illinois, it's just a matter of making sure that we dominate in a fashion that we should be dominating it. What I mean by that is we go out and we get tacks, we get pins, we get majors, we win, you know, very decisively, and we don't kind of just start getting a little bit cocky and take a day off and go out and squeak by a 2 or 3 point decision when that should have been a major decision or worse type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But this is a really good opportunity for, you know, a guy like Tony Cacioppo, who just, you know, got a whooping, and this is an opportunity for him to kind of get right back on the mat and start, you know, going in the right direction again and going out against a quality opponent, but yet dominating him and getting back to, you know, what Tony Cacioppo can do, what he does best, and that's hitting leg holds and leg attacks and riding people. And so this is a great opportunity for him. That's what I'm looking forward to the most. Like you said, Mark, 149 and then heavyweight, but especially heavyweight.
Yeah, that'll be coming up on Sunday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And you take a look at things as far as the college landscape is concerned. You had both Iowa State and UNI beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma's not what they were at one time. We know that, but it's still a good win for both of those young teams. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but there'll be better opponents down the line for the Panthers and for Iowa State coming up.
Yeah, I think it was really good for, you know, that's a conference opponent. Like you said, you know, I mean, Oklahoma's not what they used to be. They're really, really down this year, but they had a couple good victories in there. You know, they definitely had a couple big good victories in there, and that's a good win for them. And UNI's, you know, not the team it was last year. They're a much younger team, so that's a good solid win for UNI as well as Iowa State. And Gannon Grimmel from Iowa State had two big victories this last weekend at heavyweight, two tough matches, and so that's good for him. He pulled one out in overtime as well too. So. That was a good weekend for Iowa State and UNI. It's just kind of funny how Iowa State and UNI wrestled in the same building the last two weekends, but yet they haven't wrestled each other. They are going to see each other. I don't know what the date on the schedule is, but they will see each other just head-to-head in a dual meet, which will be a lot of fun to watch.
Hey, Mark, last one from me. I wanted to ask you about Penn State. The Nittany Lions have not had a duel. They've had two called off because of COVID situation, are scheduled to wrestle Indiana and Northwestern this weekend. Penn State dropped to number 4 in the rankings. Doesn't mean everything. I realize that. I would imagine you would expect Penn State to be a player a big-time player at the Big Tens and the NCAAs.
100%, no doubt about it. You know, I mean, Penn State's got a good lineup. They got a really good lineup, and I'm looking forward to, you know, when we wrestle them. That's going to be a great matchup. I hear through the grapevine, which I don't know if it's 100% true or not, that they did lose their heavyweight, who's pretty darn good, and they had a lot of high hopes for that. He's having a knee surgery or something, but that could just be false. But that's kind of word on the street, and it's unfortunate for him if that's the case. But even, you know, with or without him, they got a good solid lineup. It should be a good duel between Iowa and them at some point in time. For Penn State wise, you know, it's going to be a good opportunity for them to get on the mat, even though they're wrestling, who'd you say, Indiana and Purdue?
I think so.
Northwestern.
Yeah. Indiana, Northwestern. I mean, those actually will be a couple of great kind of warm-up type of dual meets for Penn State to get on the mat and wrestle, hopefully, for the first time of the season. And, you know, it's kind of like somebody asked, I think Chad from the Des Moines Register asked Tom, you know, Coach Trans Brands after the dual meet against Minnesota, like, you know, when will these guys be ready for the – how many matches they have to be ready for the NCAA Wrestling Championships? And it's like Tom had the best comment ever and said they were ready out of the womb. and that's kind of how, you know, you have to be. And it's kind of how, you know, you look at Penn State, yeah. You know, even though they haven't had any dual meets, that doesn't mean that they're not in damn good conditioning and in good shape. I mean, their room is so stinking tough. And I'm sure they're having simulated matches in the room right now and doing the right thing so that when they do step on the mat, knowing the circumstances and the time situation here, that there isn't a whole lot, that they need to be ready to go. And so I don't think they're – I mean, they're a good enough program, and they have a good enough coaching staff, smart enough staff, that they're going to be ready to go when the time comes.
We got the American Rivers Conference going over the weekend. Too bad Co had their meet postponed, but Co is scheduled to wrestle Wartburg down in Indianola, as well as Simpson coming up on Saturday. So that should be a lot of fun. I wanted to ask you about Saturday at the at Extreme Arena and the girls' state tournament. Your thoughts about that before we let you go.
You know, it was different. You know, it was way different for me. I have not seen a lot of the girls wrestling. It was my first girls' state tournament. It was just, I had a lot of questions when I walked in. You know, how you know, there's 64 girls in a 120-pound weight class. I'm like, how do you get 64 girls in a weight class? How do you seed that? You know, and there's just a lot of things that I didn't know how they were doing it and how they were working it. And it was eye-opening to me, and I learned an awful lot. But the one thing that I will say about watching them is, yeah, obviously they're not technically as good as the boys at this point in time. I mean, some of these girls, it was their first year wrestling. I mean, they've never even wrestled before, and so they're not going to be technically as good, you know. And but I will say it was a lot of fun to watch them, because the girls, it's almost like watching little kids wrestle a little bit, and the fact that they just go out and they scrap, they don't know any better. And because they're not as technically sound or technically as good, they can get away with, you know, wrestling out of position and really kind of scrapping more so and putting themselves in danger so they can be more aggressive, because, you know, the opponent isn't as good at the defense. And so they're going to get away with kind of being sloppy. So, which I'm saying is, that creates a lot more wrestling and offense and rolling around. And it was very entertaining and fun to watch. Those girls got after it. And It was the expressions on their faces when they would win was just, that's what it's all about. You know, it doesn't matter the age, the gender or anything like that. Just seeing them get up and train hard and work hard and to be successful and win a state title, that was the whole world to them. And it was really, really neat and cool to see. there was one girl that, you know, I, on their bio sheets, I was calling the action for the finals on track, and she had down, there's a few girls actually that had down basketball, other sports, and they had down basketball. I'm like, well, so I talked to one of them afterwards. How do you, I saw basketball on your bio. How are you wrestling and playing basketball? Aren't they at the same time? And she goes, well, the wrestling coach has been really, you know, nice to me. And, you know, basketball is my sport, but whenever I'm able to make a wrestling practice, I go to wrestling practice. And I was like, well, how many wrestling practices have you had this year then? She's three or four. I'm like, three or four? I was like, how many years have you been wrestling? She goes, this is my first year. I said, this is your first year. You've had three or four practices, and you just won a state title? And she's like, yeah, can you believe it? No, I can't. But she said that you know, I'm just really strong, and it just I can overpower girls and just have to be really strong for my weight class, and I know enough that I was able to, you know, get a state championship. And her coach is standing right there too. And he goes to her, do you even know who this is that you're talking to? And she's like, no. And he goes, before the thing, Gable came in and did a little presentation and talked. He's like, did you know who Dan Gable was, or know who Gable was, the guy that talked before it started? And she's like, no. So, all right, I've taken up enough of your time.
All right, real quick, Mark. Yeah. 9267 wants to know, who is your biggest rival?
Who is our biggest rival?
No, your personal, when you were wrestling.
Oh, when I was wrestling? Like a team-wise or individual-wise, you think?
Maybe both. I don't
both?
Know.
Both? Team, definitely it was Oklahoma State at that time. No doubt about it. Rival-wise, it was probably Stephen Schmidt from Oklahoma State. Who I wrestled in the national finals my junior year. But I also wrestled him. He was their 134-pounder as well, too. We were the same age. We wrestled each other as freshmen, sophomore, and juniors. We wrestled like 8 times. Mm. And every time I wrestled him, it was either a 1-point match or an overtime match, except for the national finals when I beat him by 6 points. And I had over 4 minutes of writing time. Should have at least gotten one more takedown to make it a major, but I was being too conservative. But anyway, that was, I would say, probably my biggest rival on team rivals, Oklahoma State. So that, which made it a beautiful year for Gable and in his career at the Uni Dome. We set the record. We beat our team's biggest rival when I was there in that era. And then I beat my biggest rival dominantly in the final. So it was a good weekend.
It was. All right. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, fellas. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Mark Ironside joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Joins us on Wednesdays. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. We'll take a break, come back, Bowling Night in America preview, and we'll talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame vote yesterday when we return.
Bergen KDV and KGYM are proud to partner for ICR Strength.
ICR Strength.
We live here, we work here, and we champion this community. That's why together, we're working to recognize some of the outstanding businesses here in the ICR. We encourage you to join us. Support your friends and neighbors here so we can let everyone see our strength.
Lifting up the corridor, ICR Strength.
The Army National Guard plays a vital role in your community. We're on the front lines supporting essential personnel, first responders, law enforcement, and medical professionals, delivering food, supplies, and medicine, keeping communities safe, making a difference. During emergencies, we're always ready, always there. Learn more about part-time service in the Army National Guard at nationalguard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Ah, and it is Bowling Night in America coming up tonight, as we're back with you at 3:53 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott and Mark, Buttons with you here as we take you through a sunny Wednesday and getting ready for Wednesday evening, Mark. And Bowling Night in America preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night America. Stop by. They have open bowling. Give them a call so they're all set and ready to go for you. Check out their pro shop as well.
Well, the opponent tonight is not only ourselves, which it usually is.
27-3.
Mike Hoskins, league leader, secretary, president. I think he holds every office in the league, but at any rate, We'll go against Mike's team. Try not to be too intimidated by Mike. He can get inside your head. But you got three Bruners in the lineup tonight, I hear.
Oh, we're Bruner, and Bruner. What could go wrong?
In what way?
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there as a rhetorical question.
Well, try to get her done. And anybody has any questions about league bowling or open bowling, visit the pro shop. Give them a call ahead of time, especially in these times, 362-0136, or you can visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
We're way over in 23 and 24 for the first time, I think, this year. We're on the far left side of the league.
Well positioned.
It is well positioned. Thank you for noticing. And it'll be a good night tonight. It'll be a good night. We'll have a good time out there. And give Tom and everybody a call at May City Bowl. They do a tremendous job. They keep everybody safe out there as well. Yesterday, the vote came down for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, and there will be a class this year from 2020 going in 2021 due to no ceremony a year ago due to the COVID and the pandemic. But there will not be anyone that is voted in 2021 going into said Hall of Fame. This has happened before. It's not anything entirely new. I guess it wasn't a huge surprise, but it's still a surprise when it comes down this way.
Yeah, there's several debates that we have every year. Recently, it's PED usage. I think it's also the process, the writers. I think it's a shame players don't vote for the Hall of Fame. Listen, I think Curt Schilling is a marginal fringe Hall of Famer. He's the closest to get in. The best thing he did in his career is he was tough as nails in the postseason.
Absolutely.
He was phenomenal in the postseason. But he ranks 86th in career wins in Major League Baseball history. Now, there are others below him who are in the Hall of Fame, but 86th all time, I don't know. And I ask you, Scott, who's the best pitcher on the roster this year? It's Roger Clemens, is it not?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Who's the best player?
Probably Bonds.
let him in. I've grown wary of the PED thing. It's a whole different conversation. I think some people are really sanctimonious about it. But how else can you explain that, you know, one year Clemens in his first year gets 35%. Now he's up to 61%. Bonds, 36% his first year. Now he's up to 61%. I mean, I know there's different players eligible each and every year, but I think people are coming around to the fact that baseball is full of cheaters, full of racists in history, some, you know, super quality individuals, but these guys are the only ones who didn't, who cheated the sport. And I'm kind of over it because Clemens and Bonds need to be in.
Yeah, and I think they will be in, and I agree with you. I think they do need to be in, and I'm not sure when that date is going to happen. They will be on the ballot one more time next year, and then their 10 years is up. Curt Schilling threw a little mini temper tantrum afterwards yesterday on social networking because we all can in this day and age. And said he's really not even interested in trying to get on for next year. But I'm sure that was just a temporary thing, and he'll try to be back there. But remains to be seen. And so it'll be last year's class, which was a good one, and they will be inducted coming up this summer in Cooperstown. Still got to get up there. That's one of my bucket list items. I have not made it up to the Baseball Hall of Fame yet. I will do that sometimes. Sometime in the next handful of years, we're definitely going to do that. Tomorrow, Kevin Lehman will join us. We'll preview Iowa and Illinois and talk college basketball. We'll talk a little bit about Drake and Missouri State round two coming up tomorrow as well on the program. We've got Creighton and Seton Hall tonight, 107.5, 106.3 FM coming your way at 6 o'clock with a 6:05 tip-off for that particular ball game. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. Talk to you tomorrow, Mark.
Talk to you then, Scott.
All right, stay tuned. Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next on KGYM.
Mornings on ESPN Radio from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's what we get for hiring a dude that doesn't understand what being a Trojan is all about.
To Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
It is.